welcome back to another episode of Control Alt Azure. My name is Tobias, and I'm back again with Yussi. What's up?
Hey, Tobias. Mother's Day is approaching. I think it's around this time in Finland, at least. I'm not sure if it's the same in the Nordics, but I know it's not the same in the US, for example. So mid-May in Finland. And I got my wife something special, something I hoped she would like. And I ordered a steam vacuum cleaner. It was delivered to us. I handed that to her. It actually landed pretty well. And she was like, so what's this? I'm like, well, it's a household appliance that you get to use more now.
Here you go.
And but the reasoning here was that when we built the house for the kitchen and the entrance area, we have fairly large tiles on the floor, and the sort of lining you have on there, it's fairly wide for us. So after 18 months of kids going back and forth through the kitchen with whatever they plan on eating, half of that has been on the floor tiles. So we really needed to somehow clean those up. And I do have to say, the steam vacuum cleaner, it's actually quite nice. But I also do know now that for next year's Mother's Day, I need to get her something less householdy.
Yeah, that's a great reminder, actually. I forgot about Mother's Day. Well, I forgot the date, so I just looked it up as you were speaking. May 26th in Sweden. So that's coming real quick as well, a couple of weeks from today. I'm probably not going to get a household device for my wife because, you know, I'm not sure that would land as well. But who knows? I might give it a try. And if anything, I'll just point her to this episode and say, no, but Yussi did it. So that's why I did it.
Yeah.
On my side, you might have heard that I've remodeled and renovated my kitchen. I'm not going to talk more about that right now. But there's two great things that's been happening lately. One kind of relates to the kitchen, and the other one kind of also relates to cooking. So the one is, I recently went on a hike outdoors. And if you follow along with the podcast, you know I'm an outdoors fan. I spend a lot of time sleeping in the woods, you know, which might sound random, but it's a really great way for me to collect energy and gather my thoughts and, you know, stay down to earth and you know, not be too digital in my spare time. But I was a little bit digital this time because I have bought a portable USB-C charge espresso maker that can produce, I think it's 14 or 16 bars of pressure. And it can make, if you have hot water, it can make 200 cups of espresso. If you have cold water, it can heat the water and push out 5 espressos. It's amazing. Definitely worth it. And then I brought the tent and the cooking gear and, you know, generally had a great time. So that does really recharge me. The realization here is coffee on the go is amazing, but it's even better if you make it yourself. So one of those devices were awesome. And that brings me to the kind of second note that I have been up to lately. And that's been, it's just a contemplation now. Should I have an espresso maker in my home office or should I go over to the other building every time I need a coffee? Which I think is healthy to get up and move. But at the same time, I'm trying to justify finding something new to buy, even though I don't need it. So I understand it's a privileged problem to have. But nevertheless, it's a contemplation as of late. Do I need another espresso maker? So chip in with your comments if you're tuning into this. Convince me to buy one or not to buy one.
Two questions before we get to the actual content. A portable USB-C charged espresso maker. So you are in the woods, middle of nowhere, wilderness.
Yeah.
Where do you charge that? Do you have like a special tree where you plug it in? Or
it's not USB powered. It's USB charged.
Oh, okay.
So it's a battery. Like obviously, otherwise you'd have to bring your bike in a dynamo and you have to go in the bike or something like that. No, there's a battery. So it can produce up to 200 cups of espresso on one battery charge. So it's got a built-in espresso engine or whatever you call it, a pressurizer.
Yeah.
To press out a hot coffee. It's amazing.
Okay. I need to finally get this as well. So let's make sure to put the link in the show notes for this USB-C charged espresso maker battery thingy. And I will be sure to get one for myself as well.
Yep.
All righty. Today, expectations on Microsoft Build 2024. And I think throughout the history of this podcast, we are about 4.5 years in. We've thought about what to expect from major Microsoft events like Ignites and Build mainly. And now we are looking at Build 2024, which will be May 21st to 23rd in Seattle in person, but also online. So it's a hybrid one. But perhaps there's a small twist here. Let's talk about that in a second. Toby, I always ask this you this one. I will ask again, are you planning to go in person or are you planning to attend virtually?
So my answer remains the same. I will plan to attend virtually. I would love to go in person for some of these events, but I think Ignite would be more interesting for me to attend. But I'm going to go virtually to some of this. But I'm actually on vacation during those dates because I'm getting married. So I forgot to mention that in the What's Up Lately. So for this one in particular, I'll probably catch up mostly on the recordings because it doesn't, like the dates, it will not be appreciated if I, you know, hand a wedding gift to my wife saying, hey, I'm going to go to Build in Seattle. You know, let's do the honeymoon later.
Yeah, that might not land that well. But if you had the steam vacuum cleaner to give away as well, it would sort of smoothen out.
That might be a good comfort prize.
Yeah. So it is free to attend Build virtually, as you would expect. And I feel Microsoft probably could charge a little bit of money for some extra bits for this if you do virtually. And if you attend in person in Seattle, meaning that you make your travel to Seattle first and get the hotels and everything else, the ticket price is $2,125, so about 2,000 euro, I would say. And I did look last year around this time when we had the expectations for Build 2023, it was about $1,500 at the time based on the notes we did about a year ago. So inflation is hitting here as well. I don't know if it's a deal breaker if a ticket is 2,000 or 1,500 or 2,100. I don't think that's the main cost. The main cost is probably the travel, the hotel, being away from home, as well as not doing billable or not being available for whatever work you do for 3, 4, 5 days even. Any thoughts on the cost?
Yeah, I think it's kind of similar to as in the past. Like if you're sponsored by a company and the company will pay for you to go, I say go. You know, the learning opportunity to go there is going to be worth $2,000, you know, without a question. And it's not about the sessions. And we've talked about this so many times. Both you and I, we've been speakers at big conferences. We've been attendees at big conferences. And one thing that is always coming back is meeting people. Like meeting people face-to-face, other customers, other partners, Microsoft. That's really valuable to get that FaceTime, even if it's only for 2 or 3 days, walking around in the public expo, talking to folks about, you know, what are you working on? What's your common problems? How do you tackle this? You know, what situations do you end up in? And, you know, what does the discussion look like with customers for things? The lessons you can learn, that is worth, you know, exponentially much more than $2,000 in itself. So if I had a choice between going and not going for that reason and someone else paid the bill, 100% I would go. It's an amazing opportunity. So on the cost, yeah, it's worth it. But if you're not a people person, if you don't like to mingle, if you don't want to do the networking, you can just catch up, you know, on demand. And then I'd say it might not be worth it. But if you want to meet people, 100%, I would think it's worth it.
I remember this was ages ago, but Microsoft often reached out to community people and MVPs to help out with the in-person event. Can you be at the Ask the Experts or can you run the labs and whatnot? I've done that quite a bit back in the day. And what I do recall, we often had people walk in perhaps to the expo area for the Ask the Experts and they would have a super detailed question and it would take them 5 minutes just to explain the setup. And then they would drill down on something super specific. This is the problem. How do we do this? And you're like, well, this is more like a consultancy question. It depends. And depending on what I answer, you come back with something else that you've tried that already. So we would really need to spend time on this. But I feel the value in being in person is everything you said, meeting the people, meeting Microsoft people, making the connections. But it's also the expo, it's the labs, it's the sort of full focus on just build for 3 days when you're there. Because typically you're not working remotely back to your home. You're there for a reason. You're there to learn. Feature speakers, the usual suspects, but I could only spot two keynotes. So Satya Nadella, Kevin Scott, Rajesh Jha, and Scott Gu are mentioned on those. And I think the difference between Ignite is that Ignite often has 4 or 5 or 6 keynotes from each main product category. And for Build, I feel this is more drilling down on what you would expect. AI and building solutions on Azure. I feel that's the main theme. And 2 keynotes seems to be enough to tackle everything in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. And I really like the keynotes on all of these events because they're like, it's grand visions, right? Someone came back to me recently and said, well, I don't like the keynotes because it's not applicable. Like, it doesn't teach me anything. And I reflected on that and it does teach you something about the vision for the future. It doesn't teach you how to do something specifically. It doesn't teach you how to set up security or firewall on your storage account or, you know, whatever you're looking for. But he does talk about the vision. You know, what does the landscape look like? What trends are we seeing? Where are we heading into the future? What does that future potentially look like? You know, how can we apply all the learnings? Let's take AI and generative AI. How can we apply that now to modern science? How can we apply that to, you know, the technology we have today? And what will that technology look like tomorrow? Things like that I find really interesting. And looking back only 1 or 2 years at the keynotes people presented at different conferences, we're now living that. You know, when someone said, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, whatever, well, generative AI is going to change a lot of things and here's what we think about it. We're living that now. We have all the co-pilots. We have all the GPTs enabled, you know, all over the place. We have virtual assistants pretty much taking care of all the mundane tasks we used to do. We're living that dream already now. That vision that came out of a couple of keynotes some years ago, we're doing that now every day. Well, if you are on board the, you know, the AI and co-pilot train, then you're doing that. And if you're not, then might be time to look into how you can leverage that to become more productive and efficient. So I really love the keynotes. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what comes up in this one.
I'm actually waiting for these 2 keynotes with some added interest because a year ago, I recall a lot of the content and focus was on, well, generative AI is coming, co-pilots are coming, let's see what it could be. Now it's an extra year. Everybody has access to Copilot for Microsoft 365. Everyone has access to Azure AI and Azure OpenAI and large language models in the cloud and locally. So now we have months of experience in actually building these solutions for enterprises and for customers. So I'm anxious to also hear, so what now? Meaning, what have we learned? What are the lessons we've learned? What are the best practices? So beyond promiseware and beyond what's coming, I'm hoping from Build throughout the sessions and the keynotes to also understand more on these are the things we've learned since the last time, and this is what you can apply today, not 6 months from now when something becomes available.
Yeah, I think that's a great reflection. And I know we talked about that in a couple of episodes where we talked about generative AI and Azure OpenAI service and things like that. We said it's going to be interesting to see in half a year how organizations adopted this, how they actually landed this, and you know how they're using it. What does the use case look like? What are the lessons learned? So I agree 100%. Let's hope we can get to see some of that. Like, here's how this company applied this technology, and this is the outcome. It's not a vision. It's already, we've done that. You know, here's the actual outcome. So I'm looking forward to something like that as well. I do expect there to be a high kind of focus on AI and security and co-pilots, which I think falls under AI in a way. That's kind of where I expect to see a lot of things. But I mean, all the sessions are in the session builder. So you can just go in and you can see, give me all the AI sessions, get me all the security sessions. And you're going to see there's a load of stuff in there. One thing worth mentioning that always comes up around these events is the Cloud Skills Challenge. I don't know if you're taking that. It's a Microsoft Learn hosted experience where you can get to do Learn modules and learning paths. And if you complete them, you know, you get some badges and whatever. There's a challenge. And there's a challenge now as well. In the past, they used to hand out a voucher. So if you did some of these challenges, you would get an exam voucher for a certification, which was pretty awesome. I don't know if they did that the last time. I think they didn't have the voucher the last time. I'm not sure if they had this time, but be sure to check that out. Regardless, it's an amazing opportunity to learn something new. And especially if you do block these days and say, hey, I'm going to attend Build, you know, whether it's virtually or not, don't just watch the sessions, but also do one of these challenges, because it is a learning experience that is worth taking. If there's a new area you need to explore, or if you have like half a day of learning in your company or, you know, something like that, take the time to do one of those, because it's really nice. I did that recently. And I know we talked about also about this, that applied skills, I think it's called, on the Learn platform, where you get to do a more interactive kind of learning experience and try your things out. Hey, configure this thing, and then you kind of do an assessment on that, which is also a great learning opportunity. So that's kind of how I see, you know, the Cloud Skills Challenge. It's something that happens. You can just do Learn modules any day, of course, but this happens, you know, in combination with Build. So if you've already blocked the time, it's a good opportunity to really get some focus, get into your focus mode and tackle that challenge.
I did have a look on the Cloud Skills Challenge, and it starts on the same day that Build starts, May 21st, and it runs until June 21st afternoon. So you have a solid 30 days to complete the different challenges. There's one for AI and one for Fabric and so on. You get the badge. Sadly, you do not get a certification voucher, which I sort of miss, but I feel the focus perhaps in the past couple of months hasn't been that heavily on completing a certification. It's been more about learning the new capabilities and the new platforms. So for the content, the session builder, as you said, that is live. And I did check the statistics on that one, 422 sessions in total. So this includes the two keynotes, 120 breakouts, 78 labs, 137 demos, and 85 pre-recorded content. And I do like that they openly say, this content is pre-recorded. It's not something that happens live during Build. It's already perhaps done, and you get access to that during Build. And then keynotes, breakouts, and labs and demos, those are live. But probably one of the approaches that Microsoft is now trying to get people to travel to Seattle is that some of the content, mainly some bits in the breakouts, will only be available in Seattle, not streamed and not recorded either. And I'm a bit bummed on that one, because technically recording the audio and the screen of the presenter, that's not a big thing. So you could do that, but I feel they need to differentiate between the paid ticket and the free one. And if I'm not paying for anything, I cannot really make demands that, yeah, I'd like this and this and I want more content, because then I would have to go to Seattle to actually get that content.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to explore what sessions exist virtually for me and just make a filter on that. It's interesting to see that some sessions are not recorded, but hey, we'll see how things turn out. There's a couple of interesting sessions that I found. I'll just make one pick, and my first pick is, I'm a little bit biased here. In the Patterns and Practices team where I work at Microsoft, we have a colleague of mine, Rob Bagby. He's delivering a session on taking your Azure OpenAI chat application from proof of concept to enterprise ready. So in Azure Architecture Center, we've published a reference implementation and reference architecture around building a chat application based on Azure OpenAI. And that is an end-to-end type of architecture with all the real-world considerations, the well-architected framework considerations for each of the pillars, and how to make a production-grade Azure OpenAI service deployment for this type of application. Then, of course, you can, if you don't want that to be a chat application, you can still take a lot of learnings from, how to deploy these things and run it at scale. So I'm a little bit biased because it's a peer of mine, it's a colleague in the team who's delivering that session, which is, he's amazing. And the reference architectures and implementations, they are, top of the line. So if you're looking for any of that, find the links in the show notes. I'll put those in there. I'll put the link to the session as well. But that would be my first pick from my side on, top sessions to look out for. What's on your mind?
So I found plenty of super interesting breakout sessions. So obviously the keynotes, yes, we have to listen to those. On AI development, there's something that's titled Employ AI on Snapdragon X Elite for Code Generation and Image Creation. So this implies the new upcoming Surface devices with the Snapdragon X CPUs. Sadly, this is Seattle only. And I'm already thinking, well, this one session would probably be enough for me to make the travel to Seattle if I had the time. And if, probably the investment I would have to think about, but definitely if I had the time, this would be one. And another one, this is from Data and Analytics, the Power of AI and Copilot for Azure Databases. It's an interesting aspect. And as you can probably sense, a lot of the sessions, not all, but many of the sessions have something to do with AI nowadays.
Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to the session on security called Inside AI Security with Mark Rusinovich. I know security is top of mind every day. It's been for many years. Even more so, given, if you take a look in the world right now, there's a breach happening every second, pretty much. There's always someone being breached. There's always a consideration with the security. There's a lot of things we can learn. So in that session, we can join Mark Rusinovich to kind of explore the landscape of AI security and focusing on like threat modeling, defense tactics, how Microsoft does red teaming, and, the path to a confidential AI. So I really think that's interesting to learn about like the various kinds of attacks in AI systems and what defenses Microsoft, applies, like backdoors, poison data, prompt injection attacks, all these things that you read about today. What does that mean? So, Mark Rusinovich, he's awesome. I followed him, throughout all of my career. And if you remember the tool called SysInternals from, way back when, Windows 2000 maybe, or, I don't know what version that started existing. That's, Mark created that a long, long time ago. And then I followed him ever since. And what he does now, I think for Ignite, he usually does these like inside the data center sessions as well. Like come along into the Azure data center. And then he gives you a guided tour of, a couple of things in there. So I think this session is going to be awesome. It's in Seattle and online. It will be recorded. It's a breakout session. That would be my number one top pick for, obviously, except for the PMP, the patterns and practices episode or session that I just talked about. This would probably be my number one pick.
My next pick is on Windows platform, learning how to accelerate stable diffusion. So stable diffusion is something you can deploy locally or you can run in the cloud, typically to do text to images using Gen AI. And I've spent my fair bit of time tweaking the settings and fiddling with GPU parameters and whatnot. So that this will be interesting to see what sort of insights there's going to be. Definitely because stable diffusion is not something from Microsoft. It's a third-party platform. But it's Gen AI, and how can we configure Windows? How can we configure the runtime to accelerate those workloads that do not natively run in Azure at the same time? Let me pick one more, because this was so weird that I just have to say this. This is running .NET on the NES, meaning the Nintendo Entertainment System from 1985.
Like the 8-bit?
Yeah, exactly.
I have that. I have the original in a box right next to me.
Cool. I used to have that as a kid. I don't have it any longer. And I don't know what I'm expecting from this session beyond if I can see a Hello World, like console.writeline, running on NES. That's enough for me. If it takes 2 minutes, this is how it works. Great. But I'm expecting something fairly technical on how do you specifically get .NET running on something as old as that one. And this will be recorded. It will be available online as well. And for all of the sessions that we're mentioning here, we have the direct links to these sessions in the show notes as well if you don't want to search for them manually. Anything else from sessions that you find interesting, Toby?
My mind is still on the running.net on the NES system because I literally this morning went through some of my boxes in my home office and I have a Nintendo from, 1985, I think it was launched. Yeah, something like that. And I have the original with the original hand controls and, you know, the original game. And back then, and just fun trivia, the games weren't called like NFL 2024, you know, whatever edition 5. It's called ice hockey.
Yeah,
that's it. Full stop. It's ice hockey. It's soccer. It's Mega Man. It's random things. And it's I don't know. It's so simple, but I have very fond memories of that time. So I do expect that session to be real interesting, but maybe more, not as much as what can I learn for me, but more. I'm probably going to, you know, watch that recording because I want to take a trip down memory lane, you know, some nostalgia. And maybe if he says, well, here, you can download this. And if you apply this microprocessor and you download this code and deploy to it, you can also make your NES run .NET 5. Then I might actually do that, but don't hold me to it. Other than that, yeah, I think we've exhausted my list of my top picks as well. The expectations are similar to the other kind of expectations we've had for Ignite and Build with these virtual events. And the list of topic is just, as we can see, growing more and more towards AI and Copilot and security. To me, those are the three topics. And you could see for the Cloud Skills Challenge as well. I think you mentioned some of the topics there. And just to give you an idea of what that looks like, it's Azure AI, Microsoft Fabric, which is also a lot of, you know, AI in that, but more data. So Azure AI, Microsoft Fabric, and then GitHub Copilot, Copilot for Microsoft 365, Microsoft Copilot Studio. So it's four sessions on AI or four tracks for AI and one for Microsoft Fabric, which I think also paints the picture a little bit like where the focus lies. It's a lot of AI happening right now.
It is. It's a lot of AI, a lot of Copilot Studio, a lot of Azure AI, a lot of RAG patterns, a lot of lessons learned. And I think they follow the theme that I'm probably expecting to hear from the keynote, that this is where we started, this is where we are now, and this is what we're looking into in the next 6 to 12 months, maybe. Alrighty. Looks interesting for sure. So we'll have to wait a week or so to get to Build, and I will be sure to book some time from the family and from using the steam vacuum cleaner at home to actually look at the sessions and ingest all the stuff. Alrighty, the last bit is the unexpected question, and Toby, based on my bookkeeping, it's your turn to come up with the unexpected question.
Okay, so here's an important one. It's a deep question. But also not, depending on how you answer. If you were a tree, would you rather be pruned for maximum efficiency or allowed to grow wild and crazy?
That's a deep one. I'm leaning on wild and crazy, but if there was an option in between, do you recall the 2008 movie from Clint Eastwood called Gran Torino?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm vividly imagining Clint sitting on his porch, just not minding anything about the rest of the world, sipping his coffee and just grunting and thinking, I don't need anything else. I'm happy here. So that would be me as a tree, not really caring about anything else, having a cup of coffee and just grow. Maybe not that wild and crazy, but not for the maximum efficiency either. Something in between.
Yeah, I like this question. Like, prune for maximum efficiency, to me, that would mean you're very organized. You want to control everything. You want to control the growth. You want to control like every aspect of everything. And I like this middle approach. Like, some things are in your control. Other things are not. Just let it go.
Exactly. Alrighty. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.
All right. See you then.